You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. We will take a look at the different aspects of the Word of God in the Book of John. You know, as a movement, we have always placed a high premium on the power, truthfulness, and benefit of Scripture. And God reveals Himself to us through His Word, by which He transforms and empowers us. In 2022, we're calling everyone to a renewed commitment to read, understand, believe, and obey God's Word. Keep tuning in to know more about this series.
All right, good evening, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to Every Nation Macau. We exist to honor God and make disciples. Before you take your seat, turn to the person next to you and say something good is going to happen to you. Also, would like to greet you a Happy New Year. Okay, this is my first sermon for the year. And I had my more than a week vacation. And it was a refreshing time with the Lord, you know, during that week. And one particular thing that really God taught me during our vacation, my vacation, is to pause, learn to pause and wait for the Lord. You know, I realize I've been really, it's like grinding, you know, being as a minister and being in the ministry for a long time. It's like it's already part of you, and I've been really thinking more about the ministry and how to minister, and it's just a good thing when you take some time and pause and wait upon the Lord, amen. So we need time to do that. And one of the reasons why I'm saying that is because starting tomorrow, okay, we have our 50 days prayer and fasting. You know? We're going to have our 5 days prayer and fasting. Amen. How many of you are excited for our prayer and fasting? All right, don't forget about that. Okay, so we have the manuals for you. You can download it. Okay, in our website, you have the devotional. We have the devotional guide, so that you will be able to follow what you know, the lessons that we have each day. And we're not just going to do this. We're not doing this as a church. This is a global thing. You know, all our every nation churches around the world are, you know, together. We're doing this prayer and fasting. Imagine that. Again, I mentioned earlier that when Jesus said, "My house is called the house of prayer for the nations," and we are really serious about praying, not only for ourselves, for our families, for our loved ones, but also we are praying for the nations. Amen? And we desire, you know, for God's kingdom expansion all over the earth. If there is one particular desire that we have as a movement, and to see the kingdom of God advance in the nations. Amen. And so please join us starting tomorrow, 8 p.m. Every 8 p.m., say 8 p.m. We have our prayer meetings here. And so for those of you, okay, who want to participate, please come and join us, 8 p.m. All right? So anyway, our series is called Abide. Okay, say abide. Because we believe that God reveals Himself to us through His Word, by which He transforms and empowers us. Amen? How many of you, you know, realize the importance of the Word of God? You know, we won't be able to walk in this journey with God apart from the Word of God. Amen? We need the Word of God to continually, you know, sustain us. You know, this word is a living word. The word of God gives life. Amen. And we're going to talk more about that. But not only that, it brings transformation. You know, Christ-likeness to us. We are being transformed to the likeness of Jesus. And not only that, the word of God empowers us to minister as well. You know, minister the word of God to others. So this year, we are calling everyone to have a renewed commitment to read, to study, to believe and obey the Word of God. So, right from the start of the year, we are already harping, okay? We are harping the importance of the Word of God. So, tell the person next to you, you've got to read your Bible. You got to study your Bible, amen? See, I remember growing up as a Christian, I like attending conferences and meetings where we encounter the presence of God. I really love, you know, seeing and watching the move of God, you know, especially in the conferences. And I got saved because of a personal visitation from the Spirit of God, and since then there is this appetite inside of me to see what God is doing in the midst of, you know, His people, in a meeting like this, in conferences where people is, you know, get healed miraculously, where people is falling under the power of God, where people is getting saved. You see, you know, there's always that experience of, you know, the presence of God that excites me. I don't know about you, but how many of you, you know, really felt the presence of God here tonight? God is here. We were singing that song, God is here. God is not up there. God is here among us. Whenever we come before the Lord with a sincere heart, I tell you, you're going to encounter God. And that's the reason why it is exciting to serve God, because you know that it's not just about you walking. You know that you are walking with Him in this journey. God is with us. He is our Emmanuel. He walks with us. Amen. And you see, many times God would appear to us, or not appear in a, just like in a physical manner, but He makes us feel Him in a tangible way. That's why sometimes you have these goosebumps, because you kind of sense the presence of God. Amen? When His presence is tangible, it's easy to believe for miracles. How many of you here, you know, experience that, seeing the miracles happening? People are, again, experiencing getting healed and really being, you know, being restored in their relationship because of the power and the presence of God. But I want to say this, right, also from the outset, mere experience doesn't guarantee eternity. Are you hearing me? Mere experience doesn't guarantee eternity, or doesn't guarantee that you will be able to finish this race. Because the foundation of faith is not based on experience. Let me say that again. Faith is not based on experience. As much as we love the experience, hanging out with the presence of God, with His power manifesting, Christianity is more than the feelings. The Bible says we walk by and not by sight. But then again, of course, we love the presence of God. You see, I have friends who used to attend the church but left after years of serving. Imagine that. They've been really serving God. Many of them, they were so committed to the church. They've been serving the Lord. Several of them were leaders. But after some years of serving in the church and walking with God, all of a sudden they disappeared. They left the church. They have forgotten their first love. They abandoned Jesus. And this is one thing that I couldn't understand, as you know, as a Christian before, when I was new in the Lord. Because why would someone give up his faith? Why would someone, you know, after tasting the goodness of God, would just eventually turn his or her back on Jesus? You see, if that can happen to some of my friends who used to be so committed, who used to be leaders in the church, If that can happen to them, it can also happen to you and me. How many of you realize that? Now, what should we do to avoid giving up on our faith? You see, I want to pose this question to all of us. This is a question I would like you to ask the person next to you. How serious are you in following Jesus? Can you ask the person next to you, say, ask this question, how serious are you in following Christ? You see, I want you to take a moment. Just take a moment. Ask yourself also if you are really taking Christianity seriously. Are you taking Christianity? Are you taking your faith seriously? Or maybe you are just coming here on a Sunday because you want to show yourself in the church. Or maybe because of your friend. Your friend, she keeps on bugging you. She keeps on reminding you that you have to go to the church. Or maybe you come to the church because of your crush. Crush landing on you. Or maybe because of religious obligation. You're obliged to come because you want to appear before your victory group leader for attendance or before the pastor. Now, what will keep us on track as we follow Jesus? Why would make you stay on the course in this race called faith? You see, if your idea of sermon is, or maybe your idea of the church is supposed to tickle your ears and make you feel good about yourself every time you come, you are badly mistaken. Because the truth is, the truth hurts and offensive at times. How many of you here, you know, sometimes you come to the church and you, every time you try to dodge the sermon or what the preacher is saying because it hits you. Hello? How many times I heard somebody tell me that, you know, Pastor, you were on target. It's like I felt like you were preaching to me. But then again, I tell you, because the truth reveals the heart, especially our issues. Amen? Now, let's go back to the book of John, chapter 6. Now, let's look at verse 35. It says here, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. How many of you here, you love bread? Jesus is the bread of life. That's why whenever you eat bread, think about Jesus. He's the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. This is kind of different bread. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, when you look at this portion of Scripture, you may think that, oh man, there's nothing offensive about what Jesus said. But you're talking to Filipinos. You're talking to, maybe you are from different race, but you are not a Jew. But for the Jews, when Jesus said this, it was offensive to them. This is a statement of Jesus. You see, if you backtrack and look at, you know, this entire chapter, you would realize that the day started very well for everybody. As a matter of fact, Jesus just fed the 5,000. They were so happy. Okay, there was a celebratory mood until Jesus made a statement, and this was the statement, I am the bread of life. He said, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. It kind of rocked the foundation of their belief You see, Jesus would intentionally shake our foundation to expose our true intention. Again, going back to my question earlier, are you really serious about your faith? Why are you here in the first place? Why are you keep coming to the church? Why are you following Jesus? Is your motive right? Because if it is not based on the truth, I tell you, it won't last. You are here today. But how long? The clock is ticking for you. And by the time you know it, just like my friends who used to be committed, who used to be leaders in the church, they were poof. They're gone. Verse 41 and 42, it says here, at this the Jews began to grumble about him. You see, they start grumbling because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And verse 42 says here, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? So you see, the disciples could not comprehend. They couldn't, you know, understand how come Jesus claims to be the bread of life. Because they know him. His father's name is Joseph. He works in Galaxy as a carpenter. Now, Jesus is claiming to be the bread that came down from heaven. And here in verse 60, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Now, it appears their unwillingness to change. Because prior to that, they already have a belief. That belief cannot be overturned. That belief cannot be broken. They have a set of mindset. You see, God cannot change someone whose belief kept unchanged. When we refuse to give up our old belief and wrong or false mindsets, we won't change. Before we came to know the Lord, mind you, we have beliefs or belief system. We have our old mindset that tries to resist the work of God or the word of God in our hearts. And so that's why Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you cannot be saved. You cannot enter the kingdom of God because it takes somebody who would be willing to be like a little child to embrace the words of Jesus. You've got to be like innocent. That means to say you must be willing to abandon and to allow God to break your former beliefs or your false mindsets. Cheap Christianity is when someone tries to fit in Jesus to his already shaped belief system. You know, some other people, the problem with other Christians rather, what they do is that they incorporate Jesus into their belief system. It's like what happened to the Hinduism that they would embrace. You know, they embrace Jesus and he will make Jesus as one of their gods. And sometimes we are like that. We receive Christ in our hearts, but then again, we are unwilling to give up our old beliefs. You come to the church, this church on a Sunday, perhaps in the evening, but in the morning, you are somewhere else. You attend another church. You come to the church, here in this church, and you worship Jesus. But then again, when you go back to your house, you still have the statue where you bow down. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is cheap Christianity. You try to fit in Jesus in your old belief system. I remember one time I was in Hong Kong. This was many years ago. I was still a missionary to China. Sometimes I would go to Hong Kong. And one time I went to Hong Kong and I saw this nice pair of shoes, nice sneakers. And I said to myself, I want to buy these shoes. Not only that, these shoes is so nice. That's not actually the shoes. Okay, I just want to make that example for you to somehow picture what I'm trying to illustrate here. So not only that, it was a nice pair of shoes, but I like the price because it's on sale. But the problem with the shoes that I would like to buy is that it is 1 inch shorter. My the size of my feet is, I'm size 7, or sorry, 7.5. And I like to, you know, that the pair of shoes that I would like to buy is 6.5. But I told myself, it really doesn't matter. I like the shoes. So, and it's a good price. So I ended up buying the shoes. But you know what? What happened? Every time I would wear the shoes, after 5 minutes, I agonized in pain. I ended up having a lot of blisters. Because, you know, I tried that unfit shoes on my feet. You see, just like what I am saying here, our unrenewed mind will harm our relationship with God eventually. Amen. You cannot put our old belief system and the newfound faith that we have in Christ. And you can see that in Mark chapter 2. It says here, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. Just like what happened to me. No, they pour new wine into new wine skins. You see, our refusal to change will create cracks that eventually burst and break. If we keep on holding on to our old belief system, what will happen to you? Eventually, you will give up this faith. That's the reason why Romans chapter 12, what did the Bible say? Verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So because this world has a pattern, it has a belief system, and you see, as Christians, we should not go with the flow of the world, this direction, because if you swim with the current of the world, it leads to destruction. That's why Jesus said, "Wide is the door going to where? Destruction. But narrow is the door or gate leading to eternal life." Because I tell you, you've got to go against the flow of this world. You can You have to stop embracing the worldly system, the old belief that you have. Because what God is trying to do, He tries to renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you hearing me? You see, church, you are called to be what? Christ-like. We are called to be Christ-like, not someone else-like, not worldly-like. Not Jeff-like or Joella-like. Not Gio-like, but Christ-likeness. So verse 61. But Jesus, knowing in Himself that His disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this?" Jesus knew that His statement was offensive to the Jews, was offensive to the followers, to the believers. But instead of humbling themselves, what happened? They took offense. Kumbaga sa Tagalog, personal si Jesus. Now, how many of you here, you got offended with somebody or someone already? Galing nyo, wala. Grabe, Lord, forgive me. Hello? And many times you took offense, or you were offended by someone because a person told you the truth. Right? Not every time, of course. Because I tell you, truth hurts. Just like love hurts. Sometimes. But here it became apparent that disciples follow Jesus primarily because of experience with Him. Everybody say experience. They just want the experience. They just want to see how Jesus heals the sick. They want to just witness how Jesus feeds the 5,000, how Jesus walks on the water, how Jesus drives out demons. They want the experience. So now, how can we avoid just living in the hype of Christian experience? Because it's not just about the hype. See, our life must be guided not by experience, but by the Word. Amen? Not by our circumstances. And I say circumstances, what I am talking about is sequences, issues, results, happenings, incidents, or occurrences. You see, because many of the followers of Jesus are triggered by the hype, by the experiences, by the circumstances, by the happenings, rather than the truth. Their experiences or circumstances guided their belief. I hope that is not us. Because if you are just triggered or hyped by the experience, you are just excited to come to the church because you feel good about what you have experienced. How about if that experience is no longer there? How about you're no longer, you know, when you don't feel the goosebumps? How come I no longer feel the presence of God in the church? I want to tell you this. I've been walking with the Lord for about 30 years. And there are always be times that you won't really feel the presence of God in your devotions and even in the church, in your victory group. Not every time you will feel the presence of God. But then again, you still continue on with your faith. You continue on walking with God because it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. You know that God is not... It's not my feeling. I know that you are always with me whether I feel you or not. I am not triggered by what I experience today or right now. The most important thing is I know that you are with me whether I feel you or not. Do you feel me? No. But see, when we talk about the Spirit of, why is the Spirit of God important? Why do we need His Spirit? Because the Bible says, Jesus said in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are what? Is spirit and life. You see, the Holy Spirit makes the very Word of God comes alive. He uses this Word, the Bible, to give you life, to speak to your situation, to guide you, to reveal Jesus to you. So in other words, apart from the world, you will not survive. You see, it's not about just experience. You've got to know Him through His Word. How many of you here, you study the Word or read your Word every day? Yes, few of you. I want to challenge you. See, especially during this, from tomorrow, these 5 days of prayer and fasting, I want you to really seek the Lord. Don't just fast without consuming the Word of God. You see, you may be hungry, physically hungry, because you don't eat the natural food, the physical food that this world would offer us. Yeah, we need the food. But more than that, we need this. Feed yourself with the Word of God. See, again, the flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You see, through the physical lens, it is impossible to know Jesus. Because as the Bible said, the flesh is no help at all. Your body, this flesh, could not help you. That's why the Spirit of God helps us. He shows us the Word of God through the Spirit who gives life that Christ is revealed. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word to us. Revelation comes as the Spirit works in our heart. Amen? And every single one of us. Because apart from the work of the Spirit, people will end up turning away from God. So it is the Spirit who reveals Christ, who reveals the Word to us. And so what happened here next is John 6:66. So 666, if you are into numerology, 666. All right. So, but look at here, 666. After this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walk with Him. See? They're not just ordinary followers. They're not just the crowds who stopped following Jesus. There were disciples of Jesus who turned away, who left Jesus. Because they were what? Offended. Jesus, again, would shake you intentionally to expose the intention that you have or the motive that you have in your heart. So no wonder many believers abandoned Jesus and left the church. So what are the implications when Jesus said, I am the bread of life? I want to give you three implications. As Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The first one is the bread changes us. When I talk about the bread, I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus is the bread that changes us. Verse 57, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So Jesus here contrasted what he gives from what he gives from the manna that the forefathers ate. He was basically made a comparison. The fathers, your fathers, he was telling the Jews, your fathers ate the manna in the desert during the time of Moses, and they died. But if you eat this bread, he was referring to himself, the bread that I give, you will have eternal life. You will live forever. You see, Jesus is the bread that will never spoil. He is the bread that will not spoil. His work in us is what? Permanent. His work is not temporary, but permanent. Amen? When he said, I am the bread of life. You know, Jesus didn't say, I was. Jesus was not comparing himself to he was not the manna of the past, because Jesus, he was saying, I am. So in every generation, during the time of the Israelites, Jesus already, he is already I am. And up today, up until now, he is I am. Tomorrow, he is still I am. In the future, he is still I am. Because he lives forever. And the life that Jesus has, he is also imputed in us. That's why you also will live forever as you trust him. Amen? Second, the bread sustains us for eternity. Whoever feeds on him will be sustained. Aren't you glad that you are sustained because of Jesus? You see, with the impact of pandemic and the challenges that people are undergoing because of this present crisis, God sustains us by his grace. Amen? He sustains us. Maybe you are here today or tonight. Somebody from your family is struggling greatly because of this present crisis. I tell you, Jesus is able to help them. Jesus not only is able to help them, but even you yourself. I know that, you know, I feel like there are some of you here. You struggle because of your work. Jesus will sustain you. Hold on to the word. Amen? How many of you who are married here? If you are married, God will sustain your marriage as you allow him to guide you. Amen? He sustains us. Your marriage, even your entire family, how you raise up your children, as you are guided by the word, you will see and experience the grace of God in your life. That's why you've got to acknowledge the word. So as we keep the word keeps us. Like the word, like the food that we eat every single day. Why do we eat? To sustain us. Amen? To sustain our bodies. Imagine if you're not eating every single day, you're just fasting. What will happen to you? You're not going to last. You're going to die. Same thing spiritually. If you don't devour the word of God, eventually you're not going to last. Spiritual health starts by spending time with the Word of God. Amen? So Jesus is the bread that sustains us. And lastly, the bread satisfies our longing. As we commune with Him, He gives us satisfaction. You know, a lot of people today, they're looking for something that would satisfy them. Question, who feeds you? What feeds your life? What makes you live? You know, some people, they live through the applause or affirmation of other people, of their loved ones, of their boss. Or other people, they live because of IG and Facebook. And, you know, just they wake up in the morning and they're already thinking, man, what I'm going to post, what picture, which one, or do I have to take another one today? Imagine that. But how many of you know that all these are temporary? Some people, they jump from one relationship to the next because they feel like, man, this person, you know, I don't get along with this person, so I have to find another one. Because you feel like you will find it somehow. But how many of you know, even if you have all the most handsome or most beautiful person that you find in this world, that will not give you the real satisfaction in life. Because only Jesus will complete you. You see, we're living in a world, we're not in Hollywood. This is not Hollywood, folks. This is real life. We are real people. With no camera all the time. Maybe once in a while. But then again, reality is we all struggle. And we long for something. And we need to be satisfied. Because there's longing inside of us that only God can satisfy. Amen? Jesus said again, whoever feeds on me. I want to emphasize that Jesus said, whoever feeds not on Instagram, not on someone else, but Jesus said, whoever feeds on me, on Him, he also will live because of me. So what's the key to having a satisfying Christian life? Go after the person. You have to go after Jesus, not religion, to have life. Your intention, your motive is to get to know Jesus. The reason why you come to the church, the reason why you spend time with Him. You have your devotions. You read the Bible because your motivation, Lord, I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to grow deeper in my relationship with you. It's all about relationship. Not religion. You see, not even for performance. Because a lot of times, or many times today, I tell you this, Christianity is already relegated to performance. You know, you people come to the church and serve in the ministry because of performance. It's just about performance and no longer relationship. It's no longer about the person, but you being involved in the ministry. I'm not saying don't get involved, because that's part of, you know, somehow life that we do as a part of the church. But if your motivation is performance, if your motivation is because of religion, there's something wrong. Your motivation of coming to the church is because you are chasing the person of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's all about relationship. I want to grow deeper in my relationship with Jesus. Just like Mary and Martha, what is the comparison between the two? Mary stayed with Jesus in the living room because she wants to learn from Jesus. She wants to grow deeper in that relationship. She wants to know Jesus. While here comes Martha, she stays in the kitchen doing all the chores, doing everything to serve. You know, her motivation is to serve, but she forgets that the Master is in the living room. Jesus in the living room, and someone else has the right heart. That's why Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is best. I hope when Jesus finds you, she finds you in the living room, not in the kitchen. You see, you minister or you serve in one of the ministries in the church because you love the Lord. That's the motivation, because out of your relationship with Him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the difference. Lord, I'm serving You. I want to serve You out of my love for You, out of this relationship that I have for You. But then again, it's about that relationship first. You see, Christianity is propelled by passion. When Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You see, many times we think of that verse. When we read that verse, we think about this should be the priority. And you demand yourself to do it. I will make God as my priority. But you see, if you read that again and again, you will always find the word seek. Seek first, seek first, seek first. You know, the word is seek. What is the difference of seeking and making Jesus your priority? That means when you are seeking, that means there is a delight. There is that desire in your heart. I'm not just doing this because I want Him to be the first. Yes, I want Him to be my first priority, but my motivation is because I love Him. I seek Him because I desire Him. I seek Him because I am passionate for Him. I'm getting this. Seek first. It's not just about priority or being demanded to put Him first. You see, I can demand myself to make Him first. But if I don't have the desire, I don't have the passion, I tell you, I'll just do it for the purpose of religion. I'm just doing it. I'm just spend time with Him. It's like a mechanical thing. Are you getting this? We can never live our lives as believers without the bread of life. And that is the word, the word. So I want to tell you as I close, we must seek Him daily and seek Him passionately. Seek Him daily and seek Him passionately. So in other words, we must receive Him from Him daily in our, you know, in our lives as the living bread. You know, John chapter 6:67-68. My last scriptures. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And verse 68, Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And last verse, 69, and we have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. So what made Peter and other disciples remain with Jesus? You see, this is progression. First, they recognize the Word, that He is the Word of eternal life. Then they believe and have come to know Him. So if you seek God with His Word, seek Him. And you will find Him. You will recognize that Jesus indeed is the Word of eternal life. And as you spend time, you will begin to believe. That faith of yours will begin to grow. Man, I've got to have this passion to seek God every single day. And you know what will happen? You will know Him. That's the only time that you begin to know Him. God will show you. Man, you begin to know who Jesus is in your life. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for you is that you will know Jesus more. Know the person more. Because really, this religion is not just about coming to the church. This religion is about a person. The person of Jesus. Why don't we all stand on our feet?
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. God bless you.